Okay, so this section I wanted to leave for more time for questions and answers, and really sharing your experience. And I really urge you to come forward with any question that you have, even if it seems like you should know the answer, or if you feel like you don't want to ask, or something is holding you back from asking. I'd really urge you to use this time to find out answers and guidance to any particular issues that you're having. And I hope you're seeing throughout this session, the whole day, that it's quite a simple process awakening. It just needs to be done with a consistency, and really just to notice on one hand what you really are, and then on the other hand, as we were saying before, to recognize what's no longer true for you, that you are someone trying to get somewhere, but those definitions are to be let go of eventually along the way. So it's a simple process happening, but we all need to sometimes to have some encouragement, some guidance along that path. If you want to ask a question or share anything at all, you're more than welcome to. Again, just to say to click on participants at the bottom of your screen, and to click the blue hand to raise your hand so that it'll let me know that you want to ask a question. Okay, Claire.
It was more a bit of a share, really, Helen. I have this tendency to be very shoulding and shouldn't in myself, and quite harsh with myself. And then there's a couple of things have happened over the weekend that have made me sort of, I've dealt with in a different way. On Friday, I was asked to double check something for a potential error. And I just did it, and there was one, and I dealt with it. But I wasn't cross with myself, which I can be. And then yesterday, something happened in the, I have problems with my hands sometimes, and something, I dropped something. And I can sometimes say, oh, you're stupid. How did you do that? And I didn't. I was very calm as well with that. Just it's happened, deal with it. And it just, these little things make a difference, because there was no shoulding and shouldn't in, and no icky feelings or anxiety with them. They were, there's very little things, but for me they were made of,
they're huge things, aren't they, really? Because those are the things that we're using to define ourselves with, usually, that we shouldn't be how we are, or we shouldn't be who we are, or something like that, you know. And when that starts to stop happening, it's just, well, I dropped it, you know, so what? It is, or I made an error, doesn't mean I have to define myself as someone who's not up to par, you know. That it's just so, it's so much relief, isn't it, to not fearing our experience then, because if we're still using our experience to define ourselves, it's kind of like you're cringing around your life, aren't you, so hoping nothing goes wrong.
Just good.
Eventually, there'll just be no, whatever happens in your experience. I mean, yes, you prefer not to drop something, or you'd prefer not to make an error in what you're doing. But it's just what happened, isn't it? Rather than anything, you need to, it doesn't have to go into endless self-analysis of, you know, why did I do that, and all of that. And eventually, there's just nothing that can define you, good or bad.
No, there's just an acceptance with it.
Yeah, it's just what is. It just happened that way. I dropped it. So, you know. Lovely. Well, thank you for sharing that. It's good to hear your progress. It's good to hear that that's dropping away. It just gets easier and easier to let go of stuff like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Lovely. Gaina?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to, it's a bit of a share, really. So I was listening on the self-inquiry we were just doing in the last session. I suddenly, you know, you always say that's another answer, you know, the feelings, the emotions, that's another answer. And I suddenly realised, oh, well, if you're not, I suddenly realised I've always been referencing thoughts as an answer.
Yeah, and as the answer, the most important answer.
Yeah, like I suddenly just realised, like, when I don't, if I just ask the question and then things appear, then that's an answer.
Thoughts are just another way that can be answered, isn't it? I remember having a stunning epiphany one day. I probably might have told you before, but said, oh my God, I so value what I think about reality more than actual reality.
Mm.
Like I've been transfixed and hypnotized by my thoughts about what is, you know, and very disinterested in what actually is, which is the human condition, isn't it? Until it's not.
Yeah, very much, and so I just thought I'd share that because I think it was, I just didn't realise like how much I've just been relying on thoughts as an answer. Yeah.
Well, that's because if we notice our thoughts more than any other answer, we experience those thoughts as real. So it seems to make sense to keep referencing the same thoughts. That, you know, and then we keep experiencing. If I'm sure that I'm not good enough, then I'll experience it everywhere in my life. Therefore, it'll seem even more important to look at that thought again and to keep looking at it rather than to actually find out if I'm good enough. You know?
Yeah. I just feel like, God, why? Because, oh, there's so many other answers. And yeah. Listening to thoughts all this time.
It's like this infinite universe of answers, and we've been going, hang on a minute, I just need to listen to this one little guy in my head, you know. But we don't know any other way until we've sort of realised, oh, somebody's shown us how to open up to more answers, you know, and then it suddenly becomes clearer that I've only ever been experiencing what I think about what is going on.
Yeah, because they just don't seem like answers to you, do they?
Sorry, in what way?
Like initially, when you first start off with self-inquiry, it doesn't seem like an answer.
Yeah. So how can my cat running down the stairs at that random moment be an answer? You know, mine says that's ridiculous. You know, and that thought is given more validity as an answer than the cat running down the stairs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but she actually did run down the stairs towards the end of the session. Right on cue. Yeah. But when you start to realise it's just this favouritism we've had about thoughts into it because we keep experiencing them.
Yeah.
And when you sort of see that, you're coming out of it then. If I keep only focusing on what I think is true, I'll keep experiencing it over and over again.
Yeah. I can understand that now better. Yeah. So.
Good. It'll get clearer and clearer as well as you keep on.
Lovely.
Thank you.
So much.
Thanks for sharing that. Eileen?
Hi, Helen. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you so much. I think you answered in Gaynor, and it was actually twice when she asked the question. I felt like it was being asked for me because it was the same. I think it's the same answer, but... I guess my question is, you know, I feel like I'm in this perpetual loop of wanting to be better, wanting to be loving, wanting to, you know, and trying to sort of purify myself, you know, just make a better me, basically, because, you know, who I am is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm seeing it a lot is just in... like I go down the stairs to see my daughter. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be open. I'm gonna be loving.
Doesn't always go to plan, does it?
And no, and it seems like it's having the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I was just writing down what you had said before. If you know, is it because I keep focusing on there's something wrong with the interaction happening?
Yeah, it depends where we start our experience from, isn't it? If I'm starting from that place where I need to be more, then you've never been just a person. You've always been the infinite self and power behind all of this. So if you believe and put attention upon that idea that you need to be more than you are, then you're absolutely going to immediately experience needing to be more and never actually arriving at where you want to be. It's like a direct and literal command to the universe. Give me experiences of needing to be more. But mine says, if I hold on to this desire to be more, better, to be my ideal someone, then I'll arrive at that. But it hopefully it's becoming clearer that that's never really going to get, you know, there's this endless road with no destination on it, just always needing to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And how could we ever arrive or even see if we had arrived if we're constantly looking to the future of what we could become? You know, is it even valid to want to be more if we're not even sure who we are now? What if who we are now is already enough? And it may not seem like we are. You know, I might seem to lose my patience or my temper and that desire arising to be more loving. Yes. But is that, you know, that lack of patience arising because I think I need to be more loving? And what happens if I drop that idea for a moment? Like, could it be that you're already the person you want to be, just haven't noticed it because we're so busy trying to get somewhere and we keep experiencing what we feel we need to be, you know, we keep experiencing needing to be.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I feel like, the catch 22 that I'm like, well, if I just go down and be me, I'll start just saying what I think and I'll be put, you know, I'll be,
yeah.
Or, you know, just
it'll just be chaos, random chaos.
Yeah, yeah, I'll just be saying, I don't like your hair and why don't you get another, you know, whatever, all this, you know, I'll really be hurtful. I guess that's my fear.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is that that's my fear because of the belief I'm starting with.
Yeah, it's like you're so powerful already. You've always been infinitely powerful, but we've been using that power to experience unconsciously our projections about what we think is true. We think we need to be more than we are in this moment. And yes, you know, even now I can still become even more loving. I can express that even better. It's never going to end. But starting from that place where it's already enough, like recognizing that any seem to need to be more than I am, is coming from what I think is true about me. And literally, because you are everywhere all the time, you're not just that human being, then life is going to mirror that back to you. If you think you need to be more than you are, it's going to give you lots of experiences to prove that. If instead you question, is that true? Even though it seems to be happening, you know, it seems to be true, granted, but is it actually true? Then life is going to start to mirror back to you that it's already, who you are is already enough. You know, that you can have this unfoldingness of more love, more compassion, more wisdom, all the things that you want. At the same time, feel adequate and whole and complete now. They're not contradictory. They seem paradoxical to the mind, don't they?
They do. No. And I also just wanted to thank you. I love that what you shared about your cooking, because I have this push-pull relationship with having to work. For some reason, I feel like I shouldn't have to work. And so whenever jobs I get into, it's like, I don't like this job. It's yeah. not what I want it to be. And I would rather not be. I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, and I keep wanting to be a stay-at-home mom. And it's not my circumstance. I have to work. So again, I keep seeing in both examples that I'm giving here how I'm sort of, you know, creating this reality for myself. And I really loved your, you know, just sort of changing it. And I feel like I have tried this to make work more like play and hold it lightly. But
yeah.
I'm trying to fool. There's something in there that doesn't believe it still.
Yeah. 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 It's like, oh, work is work. And, you know, being at home is being at home. And mm-hmm. those categories are believed in. But If you take apart the meanings of why you're going to work, you know, if you're just going to work because you're going to work, no other reason, you're not going to earn money, you're not going to advance your career, those things will happen, obviously, but you're not doing it for any reason per se. You're just right. doing it because that's what your body's doing in this moment. Then you're not going to be needing anything out of it when you're there. And it's not going to feel any different then to when you're at home. Because what you love about being at home, what we all love, is just not needing anything from that time. We can sit around in our pajamas if we want to, you know.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you go to work in your pajamas, but you get the idea, you know. So mm-hmm. if you're not
in my looking, mind, though, that's what you're saying, essentially. Be in my pajamas in my mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. If I'm just at work because, you know, and I experience this very literally. If I was holding satsang and I needed someone to wake up from what I was saying, it absolutely didn't happen ever. And I was like, what is going on? Because I was commanding the universe that I need people to wake up. It could never actually occur. And it just hit me in this revelation one time, you know, that my whole life had been an expression of I need to be more awake and never can actually be. Need to be more mm-hmm. peaceful, never can actually be. And it's this endless loop that becomes more obvious, doesn't it? I was driving one time in Leeds city centre, and there is this one-way loop, like I suppose there is in a lot of cities in the north of England here, and I got stuck in this loop and I could not get off it. And I think, God, this is my life. It's like a mirror for my life. So it just became clear that you just get out of that loop, see if you actually need something, you know, and try it in small areas first, you know, where there's not so much at stake. My mind says, all right, we'll try it there, you know. Anything, because anything you feel you need, more time, more energy, more patience, more love, more awakening, mm-hmm. you know, and the more awake you get, the less you can sort of play with I need, for it immediately shows up.
Wonderful. So thank you so much.
And have fun with it as well, yeah. Lovely. Rhoda?
Hi, Alan. Nice Hello, to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Even with the experience of the simplicity of this today, there is a thought that comes in that says it can be this simple, and I'm confused. And I'm noticing that seems to be a pattern, and I haven't the foggiest why it keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm. A sense of confusion, did you say? Just
yeah, just a sense of confusion that it's simple, and yeah. that therefore I must not understand.
But I'll let you into a little secret that took me ages to figure out, that if you're confused, you're actually closer to freedom than actually understanding. There's actually two ways of it happening. I noticed when I figured stuff out in my mind and I understood something, I was less at peace. And when I didn't understand at all, eventually I was just more at peace. And it became more and more obvious that I didn't have to actually understand, you know, anything about awakening to actually live like that. And in fact, it becomes a letting go of trying to understand. So if our mind is confused, if there's a state of confusion arising, it's perfectly okay. It doesn't mean that something's going wrong. And it's probably just a sign that there's a starting to, that you're starting to want to let go of trying to figure it out, trying to get somewhere, or that it's becoming more pronounced. That actually, because if you look at what we were doing before, asking a question, that's a kind of not knowing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I can either not know the answer to this question and ask it, live as this question, or I can know the answer. And they're kind of opposite experiences. Do you get a sense of it? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, what if I don't even need to know? What if I could get through this whole intensive and not understand a single thing that Helen said? And that's like almost the goal of it, you know. See some people come into satsang, very first satsang, they haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, and they have a massive awakening. And you know, I feel really happy, but I don't know why. It's like, it's fine, that's good, you know, it's fine. There's a lot of emphasis in the human kingdom, isn't there, on figuring it out and understanding, and this is the one thing where that isn't going to work. So if you sort of see that developing within you, you can just kind of, it's all right if mind's confused, it's actually a really good sign. I've reached the end as far as I can come with my understanding and trying to get somewhere. Maybe I understand a lot about the self. But now I'm sort of wanting to let go of that, and I'm starting to want to experience it more and be it and actually arrive. It seems paradoxical to say that we can be completely confused and totally at peace at the same time, but it's really possible. Like something's smiling inside and my mind's going, what? I don't get it. You know, I don't get this.
So that part that keeps grasping for understanding, I can just let it do its thing and not worry about it then.
Yeah, it's rather, it will sort of come to understand eventually, but it'll happen from the inside out. You know, no amount of efforting trying to understand the self, the beautiful mystery, it is going to satisfy mind. You know, it's never going to get there. But from just being that self more, being that question more, epiphanies and understandings will arise naturally from that place that will satisfy the mind, and it'll go back into quietness. It's kind of just a switching of functioning. Everything else in our existence, we've tried to understand it first, and then we've done it or become it. Like if I study this 4 years, then I'll get this degree in it, and I'll be, you know, I will be this person that does this. But it's more the other way around here, isn't it? If I try, just let go of trying to understand more and more, and just be in this moment as this moment is now, then understanding will just arise effortlessly from that space as epiphanies and aha moments that just come without any effort. Because they always do, don't they? When you have a breakthrough, it just comes spontaneously.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
Let's keep going. Thank you.
Be confused, it says. Great stuff. Lena? Can you hear us, Lou?
Yes.
Hiya. Yep, there you are.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking about the feelings, and somehow it just struck me that we have always learned in life in general, and probably in some kind of self-development or spiritual teachings, that it's always like, if you have a good feelings, it's an indication that your life is going well and everything is perfect and your relationships are well. And if it's the other way around, it's bad, and you have to somehow fix them. And it really kind of struck me that it's no wonder that we are trying to, like, we have a resistance to the negative feelings, and because it's really so many beliefs and during the whole lifetime. And because I know it's still a little bit issue that every time I go to the negative feelings that I've done something wrong or bad, or it's not good.
Like, I'm failing, yeah, because this fear, I'm failing in my awakening or something. Yeah.
Yes. Fear, for example, when you said today that everything can just be there. I have heard it so many times already in your teachings, but today it just
it hit you today.
Yes, that everything is okay, and they don't mean anything really. It's not indication of anything at all. Yeah.
And that is the awakened state. Nothing means anything. It sounds cold to mind, doesn't it? But nothing means anything at all to me. Whatever can come, can come. Whatever goes, goes. And nothing is good or bad. It just is, you know. And if I don't label fear as fear, it's not a bad thing. It's just a frequency that moves through the body, you know. And it doesn't need to be evidence on my pros and cons list of how awake I am, or, you know, how far I'm getting in my awakening.
Yeah, and in general, just about anything, it doesn't mean anything about my life that I'm failed at anything if I feel in some way or other, or if I take it as an I'm a really big, if I have done something so-called good and I feel great. And even in that direction, if you just hold them loosely and don't think too much of them, then you don't like try to always get more of those feelings and just get rid of the other ones.
Yeah, and then you start to feel good anyway because you're not expending so much energy pushing against what is happening. Like just saying an absolute no to reality in this moment because it shouldn't be this way. It costs us so much energy. And as you stop doing that, even if there's a negative emotion in this piece as well, there's contentment and fear or guilt or whatever is coming up. It's just such a relief. It's just stop being constant in argument with what's happening.
Yes, it's just like basically it melts down to accept everything as it is. Life is easy.
Yeah. And if you can't accept everything as it is, accept that too. Yeah,
that's right.
It's always the simplest thing that works best.
I know it works. And one other thing is that I noticed that when you told us that you should, I think it was lesson four, that we should like try to start to contemplate about objects and like what is your body really, or what is that chair there or whatever. And I noticed there was a resistance to it. And when I just started this week to do it really with a determination, then I noticed that the resistance was that because I thought I had to somehow try to figure out with my mind that how I'm going to see this as a vibration and just consciousness and I had to figure it out. And then I just noticed I don't have to do anything at all. I just have to let everything just be like it is, just like other contemplations. And it was really stupid.
We all do it though, don't we? You know, I remember realizing that I was never going to find the answer. I was never going to find out what I am. And I'm going to do all this contemplation and never find out what I am, never arrive at a definitive answer. And my mind was like, what? You've done all these years of satsang and you're never going to get that. You're never going to understand this. And the other part of me was like, oh, you know, that's just... I could just enjoy finding out, right? Enjoy the answer. And then it becomes something easy to do, lovely to do, doesn't it? When you're not trying to get it here constantly so much.
Oh, yes. It was like a relief.
It's like you've just let go of a heavy, heavy rock that you've been holding your entire life.
Yes. Nothing else there. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for sharing that. Lovely. Caroline?
Yeah, hi Helen. Maybe a little bit about what Lena just previously said. In one of your talks, you talk about looking at past the object, look at the space that is around the object. And when I do that, I sort of start to feel that, everything is connected that way. And I become irrelevant in that. And I don't know whether that is just my mind trying to say that that is how it is, or whether that is a true observation.
Did you say you become irrelevant? Did you say?
Yeah, because then the ego really disappears and you become more a part of the whole kind of thing.
Yeah, because ego is really only that is trying to pick out differences between objects. Mm. This one I like, this one is good for me, this one's safe, this one's not. That's kind of what it does. And when you're focusing more on that, which is the same, it's the same, isn't it? There's nothing you can define or compare about the space of your being. Ego naturally goes into the background then and stops functioning for a while. So... naturally begins to kind of fall apart because there's nothing you can describe about that. Mind or ego is a comparing mechanism, big, small, you know, high, low, tall, short. So really what I think about something becomes less and less relevant because it actually just is this, isn't it, in this moment. You know, it's just how it is. And perhaps it's clear that it's never been how I think it is. It's never been what I think it is. It's just this formless space of being. Naturally, in that place, the objects become more dreamlike anyway. and what I think about them becomes more dreamlike, not quite so concrete.
When I look back at my life, I've always felt that I was aware of what is happening, and I don't know, because I was a very shy person and always a bystander or an onlooker, but even in the most intense moments that I had in my life, I still felt that there was something there that was watching it all. And I find with this whole process of the awakening, certain things all of a sudden become clear that I thought were foolish or were just, it start to make sense all of a sudden. It's quite a beautiful process, actually.
It's like the most obvious and simple things about our entire existence have been the ones that we've overlooked, isn't it? And yet they're beautiful.
And it sort of allows you more to be truly you, if you know what I mean.
Whatever that looks like in this moment, you're being it, aren't you? Yeah, exactly. It's authenticity or freedom, isn't it? To just however I am in this moment is however I am in this moment. Not to have anything inside that says I should be different than I am.
The whole concept of being authentic becomes more meaningful this way. Thank you.
And to find that within us that cannot not be authentic, you know, that just is always itself. It's the biggest freedom of all. Wonderful.
Thank you
for sharing. Fantastic. Nikki? Can you hear us, Nikki? Oh, yeah, there you are.
Hi. So I'm difficult today, so I'm not sure if you can see it. Can you hear me?
We can just about hear you. It's breaking up a little, but...
But you can't see me.
Can't see you, no. At least I can't.
The perception here, it is a bit temperamental sometimes, but I guess I really wanted to say thank you. What you were saying to Rhoda really resonated with me, much resonated with me, but I guess that's where I feel that I am. What you were saying with Rhoda is that I literally feel like I just don't know anything. You know, even in the asking questions, I don't know. I feel like I've got nothing to say, nothing to think, but not in a bad way, in a really good way. Because, you know, I historically have been quite a talker. I'm a talker, but I literally feel like I've got, I don't know, I just don't know, but in a really good way.
Described my constant experience there, you know, and it's wonderful, isn't it? It's a freedom in itself.
So thank you so much. It's been, you know, as it is for everyone. I mean, I've been listening to some of your recordings before today, and I listened to one and just about the, because I've had sort of two different experiences without going into, it's a long story, but I was a heroin addict, feels like, in a former life. And I had this, because things were so drastically bad, I had this, my ego just collapsed. I mean, it's a long story, but that's what I'll put it down. To put it down into a very short sentence, is my ego completely collapsed because I literally had nowhere else to go. And I had this quite profound awakening experience where I literally felt like I was floating on air for months. I could see light and dark, and it was a very intense, very out of body, very surreal experience. But I had no understanding at the time what happened to me. So anyway, I won't go to why, but why I didn't stay in that place. But so now I'm having a different kind of awakening experience, So I had to sort of come away with not comparing me to that one. You know, this has been much more of a gradual.
You will come back to that same experience of total freedom, but naturally there's this honeymoon period after a big seeing where it doesn't seem like there'll ever be anything arising again to deal with, but the old fragments of ego eventually do arise, because in that experience of being totally free, naturally a desire arises to live like constantly. You know, of course we would want to live like that and feel like that all the time. So to do that, we have to look at these things that we still think we know, that we're still sure about, that will present themselves to look at again from what we've seen is true now about ourselves. And that's really what's happening, isn't it? Processing of this, letting go of knowing these things, sort of rewiring our biological self to be able to express that freedom completely without any thought filters on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. Lovely.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's a joy to be here.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen?
Hi. And thank you today. I think it might have been answered. Well, it feels like it's been answered, but there's still, I can still feel like the mind is chatting a bit. So I've been trying.
Always good to ask again, isn't it? It's always good to go over again.
Thanks for saying that. There's a lot of like, don't ask again, for God's sake.
But oh, 150 million times I had to, you know, go through the same thing in a fight. And like Lena was just saying, at some point, it's just, oh yeah, you've heard it so many times before. But sometimes it just, at some point, it just hits you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
it takes a thought that's like, you idiot, you should have known that. It was obvious. So I've been trying throughout the day to, well, I wouldn't even say I've been trying a bit much. There's like there are more frequent moments during the day where I'm like, oh, I'm aware. That's what comes up, I'm aware. And then there's like a feeling into that awareness, like a, what is aware if I'm aware? But unlike in a meditation, it's really subtle. There's like a tiny quality or something. And so, and I guess that something latches onto that. It's like, this is it. And then there's this, you're making it up. It's not really anything, is it? It's so vague and subtle. And then it becomes a bit of a, you know, there's a backing out of it and there's going into it, but there is a lot of how, if I don't know I'm doing it right, how do I know I'm progressing?
Yeah.
But I'm, and so, yeah.
Totally normal. Totally normal. It's because the mind is trying to, you know, we're learning to perceive that which is not visible or tangible, and you can't think about it, but of course mind tries to think about it. So the progression, the proof of our progression should really just be the noticing of it. You know, you notice you're aware, like you said, you're just recognizing it's here. And then just noticing it's natural for mind to try to think about it afterwards. But I think we've came up several times maybe in this session that the thinkingness is never going to reach a conclusion about it, because it can't really. Mind will try to understand this. Mind will try to get somewhere, some aha moment through its thinking process. But the noticing of it is enough. Just that simple thing. You don't have to stop thinking, you know, it'll just go on for a while. But if you're noticing it more and more and more throughout the day, then that's progress. Recognizing that, you know, if we sit in a meditation with our eyes closed, then probably the awareness is going to feel much stronger than it may feel at first if you're walking around the supermarket noticing awareness. It might not feel strong, but it's not necessarily how intense the experience of it is. It's just the effort to notice it at first. Because in doing that, we're taking attention away from fixating on thoughts about awareness, you know, and opening up to deeper answers to that question, what am I? more and more just gently preferring the experiential answer rather than thinking. You know, let mind do its thinking, and you prefer more and more the experiential answer of there's awareness here right now. I don't need to define it or anything like that. You know, just there's awareness, noticing it. It's a knowing, isn't it? A seeing. And then mind thinks about it, or at the same time mind thinks about it. You're making it up. It can't be that easy. Nothing this simple is going to get me anywhere. You're not doing it right. You know, all the things it says. It has a whole lot of opinions about this. It's never going to be really just, it's never going to be, mind is never going to grasp it really, because it's not something it can really get a hold of. Do you get a sense of that?
No, that's really helpful. Just knowing that the progress is that I'm even asking
just the noticing. Just the noticing. And if your mind is saying you're doing it wrong, that's probably a good sign, because it's not something that mind can do, is it?
Mm.
Of course mind's going to say you're making it up, because mind can't see it, can't perceive it. You know, so in a way what mind is saying is true, but it's true for mind, not for you, which is why mind's so convinced it's right. Mm. You know, it cannot get a grasp on something that it cannot compare. It's always... He's even trying to compare ego to awareness, isn't it? It's trying to compare the two. It thinks they're two.
It's like it's trying to compare the depth of this experience of awareness to the depth I had in the morning or something.
Yeah, and I had that same thing. I could sit here and absolutely lose all aware of time and space. Deepest state ever. Just like unconscious, gone. And then mind would say, but you're not feeling like that all the time. But it's because some attention has to go on what my body's doing. But if I don't believe, you know, awareness doesn't feel like anything. Stillness doesn't feel like anything. It has an effect upon the body. You know, it has a feeling response in the body, a reflection. It doesn't feel like anything. So if we're judging it based on how deep it feels, like you can't get deeper into awareness. Awareness just is, and you are that. So it's just sort of sieving through these subtle ideas and then naturally letting go of trying to always get deeper. It sort of falls away, and there's just that which is you. And the body experiences an ever deepening of it then. It feels stronger each day, but not from that place of I'm trying to get deeper. You sort of see the difference.
Mm.
Even now, even where I am now, if I sat here now, stopped talking and closed my eyes, my experience would get much deeper. There'd be a very deep state and I wouldn't be able to talk or anything. But that's not the same as awakening, is it? Awakening is the constant effortless recognition of that which is, or, you know, what was true about you. In that knowingness of what I really am, I could have deep states. I could have, like now I'm talking, eyes are open. But there's nothing that prefers that deep state. It'll just naturally come every now and again. You know, I'll just close my eyes and drift. But that's not... Mind says that's what awakening is, when you feel like that all the time.
Yeah, that's so true for me, yeah.
Having said that, as you let go of trying to get deeper, you will get deeper, even when you're in the supermarket. It'll be just so much more obvious. Yeah, so it kind of moves to the foreground of your experience, the real self, and the trying to get somewhere is kind of just receding into the background more and more.
Mm.
And at some point, you just can't really find where you're trying to get somewhere anymore. It's just, but not from trying to get rid of it or anything. It's just doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Right. I think I remember you saying something like doubts. If these doubts, you can either choose to just like love them or ignore them.
Yeah. And if you understand that mind is doubting because it cannot perceive reality, it's never going to feel mind like you've got there, because it can't recognize that you are that. You can only think about the real self. So we stop fighting with mind then, because it's seen, it's clearer that mind feels justified in what it's saying, because it does think you're making it up, because it can't see awareness.
Mm.
You know, so it's, of course it's going to say you're doing it wrong. And it's going to be looking for a feeling, isn't it? It's going to be looking for an experienced mind. So it's not wrong, it's just not relevant for judging your progress here. Mm. And that you are just noticing what you are more and more. You know, that's all that's really happening, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. Thank you.
But it's really helpful for everyone, probably, because I remember myself, it was in the mornings, I'd sit with a cup of tea and I'd get really deep state, and then I'd be somehow beating myself up because I wasn't like that at 5 p.m. You know, it's like, what's going wrong? But it's never going to look like that, really. You know, there's you'll get deeper, but not from trying to get deep. It's absolute already into you are that. You're either that, or you're someone trying to get deep into that. Two very different experiences. Lovely. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Stefan, we'll make this the last question. Can you hear us, Stefan? We can't hear you, still muted.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
There we are.
Lovely.
What's come across to me today, and I'm not sure that may be what you intended, but...
I didn't really intend anything, so that's all.
is that this strikes me today, a little bit of an insight, is that this is a passive process.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a process of unlearning.
Yeah.
So mine can't get it.
No.
When you're learning stuff, you're putting stuff into your mind, aren't you?
Yeah.
This is the opposite in a way.
Yeah.
And, well, that's just my observation or what came over to me. Yeah, I don't know.
It absolutely is. It's a very passive process, not fighting with anything. If ego is arising, mind is arising, same thing as far as, you know, definition today. If I'm feeling a negative emotion, just taking a passive, like the awareness is passive, isn't it, in a way? It's not doing anything. It's not in relationship with anything. And just a gradual forgetting of everything I've come to know about myself. And even forgetting what I know about the self, you know, as in where I'm supposed to be headed. And even when you realize, oh my God, I am always being this. This is all there is. There's nothing other than this. How could I have ever not seen this? Even that is kind of forgotten after a while too, you know. And it's a beautiful, like after all this meditation and self-inquiry, I finally arrived where my cat is, you know. Yeah. Doesn't know anything and is really happy, or like I was when I was 2 years old. But you're conscious of it then, you know. The child is empty of knowledge, but they're going to fill themselves up and build an identity, aren't they? You know, so there's just a forgetting and undoing, just a letting go of all the concepts we've come to value most dear about ourselves, and that naturally is occurring. It gets faster and faster, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, trying to do something. I mean, I suppose you always want to hear somebody tell you what to do to get there, you know. And I'm kind of realizing now, maybe all I need to do is just to soak this all up,
yeah, you know?
And then it kind of do itself. I mean, that's the way.
Your words right now are evidence it's already cooking, you know. Yeah. Like, just all I've got to do is just question if there's anywhere for me to go, actually. Mm. Really. You know, or have I just believed that thought and keep experiencing that thought that there's further to go. You know, and then I keep experiencing some disturbance as a result of that thought and some journeying. Mm. What if I don't quite so blindly believe that anymore? Mm. What if I forget even that there's further for me to go? you know, which seems almost blasphemous to the mind, doesn't it? It's so,
it does, yeah.
Obviously there's further to go, you know, if I don't even believe that for a second.
I mean, there isn't anywhere to go, really. I mean, that's what I've heard and known for a long time, but it doesn't really seem to help. But, you know, I can, at one level, I know that, you know, there's nothing to do, nowhere to go, but, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, for that to emerge, I don't know when and if, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me was I just didn't know anything.
Mm.
And that just felt so amazing that I've decided to just stay like that, you know. And if I start to know something again, I just forget it as soon as I realize,
you know,
because you take that, you take the shape of that thing that you know, and you experience it very literally as the self, because you have always been that. We've been taking the shape of all the things that we thought we knew about myself, about the world, about life, and then, you know, in the latter stages about awakening, I'll take the shape of all the things I know about awakening, that it's hard, or that I've got to do something, or whatever we're believing. I'm not there yet, you know, so we'll experience not being there. And in the end, it's just a glorious forgetting of all of it. First, it happens sporadically. There'll be moments where I just don't know anything and I'm happy. And then it'll just be gradually more and more my constant experience. And then it becomes effortless. And it's actually a bit of an effort to remember something then, in a way. Lovely. Fantastic. That's exciting when people talk like that, because it's really breaking through there.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like a good place to bring this to a close. I'm amazed that I managed to finish on time. It's just never happens ever. So it's wonderful in itself. So I just want to say thank you for being a part of this today with me. It's been wonderful, and I hope you've had as much fun as I have had. And as I said, these recordings will be available for till the next intensive in August. I think you can download them as well from the website, from the hidden page. So just, you know, listen to, if there's something that's been said that's really caught your attention, just digest that over. Don't work too hard with this, you know, just try and have some fun with this, and just begin to question those assumptions that you've really, really believed were true, and therefore keep experiencing. In the end, no experience is going to define you, or really, you can keep experiencing not being worthy for a very long time. Doesn't mean it was ever true about yourself. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you.